This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you for joining the IDN Guidelines Working Group call on 25th of May 2017. We have Mats, Dennis, Satish, and Samad on the call. So over to you, Mats.
Thank you. Last time, we were processing the comments from
Open Exchange.
Open Exchange. Thank you. Trying to find my, I had the sheet. Can't see it right now. Okay. So they were asking for a clearer writing on confusable. Trying to remember what we said. We never finished this discussion.
So I think in summary, they are saying that we should change our recommendation from a may to a must for considering whole level evaluation rules. And we'd not concluded that discussion last time.
Right. And we have that. Let's see. This is recommendation number.
I think it's 16.
Cross-script. Typically, variables. Right. So, Dennis and Satish, what is your point of view on this? Should we apply a must on this, or should we continue to have a may?
Matt.
Yes.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Dennis.
So as we discussed last week, albeit briefly, there are things that we need to establish. I mean, there is some, I guess, misunderstanding or maybe lack of understanding what a confusable character is or a confusable label is. So we need to do some education to those who commented that there should be do something about confusables in the IDN space. And confusable is not only a issue with IDNs. We know there are confusable labels in ASCII as well. There are confusable labels, characters in ASCII as well. And so to do something in the IDN space will not solve what they are thinking an IDN guideline will solve. I mean, that's one thing, right? We need to respond in a way that we clarify what a confusable character and label are in the whole domain name space. Second of all, Open Exchange comment number 2 about what UTR 39 Unicode standard offers. It's an implementation definition algorithm, but that's the least of a implementation problem. I mean, it's an algorithm, and it's easily to implement. The problem is, again, it's what is the repertoire that it's going to be used in order to establish what character is a confusable of the other one, right? And that's when we discuss in the group working group many weeks ago, as a group, we decided there is no authoritative source for this. And we looked at a couple of options. That was the confusables, Unicode's confusable list, which was a larger set that included ASCII characters and other math symbols and et cetera. And the much narrower set, which was the the intentional one. And those are the characters designed by Unicode to be identical. I mean, there are some characters that are identical to others, and those were by design, and Unicode, I believe Unicode confirms this, right, that these characters, the ones in the intentional set, were meant to be designed as identical. For example, the Cyrillic A, right? It was purposely designed identical to the Latin A. So that being said, I think we ended up in a good place where, I mean, we leave these guidelines up to the registries to consider, depending on what type of what tables they are going to be releasing, offering for their customers. I don't think that we should increase the level of requirement on this guideline and should stay as a may. I mean, I'm going to stop there so that others can comment. Thank you.
Thank you. I always get confused on which one is the narrowest of confusable and intentional. The names don't say very much, but
intentional is the one that is narrow.
Right. So our text actually refers to intentional as an authority source. So maybe we should require that they block those that are identified in intention. And may consider confusable. Please, Dennis, please require that.
I think the registries can decide what to do. The recommendation is that they should look at this issue and come up with their own policy. I mean, if you refer back to the, again, because it will not address what the commenters think the issue is. If you look at the, not Open Exchange, but the comment on confusables from the Government of India. I'm opening the document here so that I can paraphrase, or now I'm saying quote. Here's the example. give me a second.
Are you looking in the document that we see but further down?
No, I'm looking at the actual comment on the comment page.
Okay. And when did they send that?
I'm sorry?
When did the government of India send their comment?
Yep, that's the one. So, and I'm reading, right? So, in his comment... Huh?
When was it?
When was it? They sent the comment? Hold on a second. So, this was posted on... Well, in May. Oh, yeah, May. I don't think there is a time stamp on each of the individual comments. Yeah, and the letter doesn't have a date either. But it was in the May of in the month of May. So, for example, I'm just quoting here. So he has three sections in the recommendation in its comments, and on section 2, numeral 5, at the end of the line says, let me just read the whole comment. To the specific issue of whole script confusables, point 17, although I think he meant 16, of the current recommendation is a may rather than a must. But if we feel that it should move to a must, replacing may to must will help to stop registration of the domain names like, in quotes, google.com, Google with two zeros instead of O's, to put blocks on cyber squatting. So clearly there's a misunderstanding here what the issue of confusable is, or maybe it's, well, these are confusable, so there is no issue with the confusable, but there is a misunderstanding what the IDN guidance can do, and certainly those cases the IDN guidance cannot address.
I agree with you, and in a way, this makes it funny, strange to have a specific IDN guidelines instead of looking at polls. Right. So your point is, Emish, that to be up to the thinking of registries, even to decide if they should try, if they should block domain names only differing on passwords that really are limited. What do you say?
Sorry, Matt, you came in breaking up. Can you repeat, please, or get closer to the mic?
Right. So, is your point of view that it should be up to the registry to decide if it should have any rules to prevent domain names that have the same glyphs but from different scripts? Like the classical Latin versus Cyrillic homoglyph. Do you understand what I mean, Dennis?
That's the conclusion that we came up with.
It probably was. And here we clearly have comments that think that we should go
Correct, but based on such an example, based on a misunderstanding of the issue.
Turkish.
Yep. This is Satish. Thanks. So this is Satish here, and first of all, I'm not really an expert in this aspect, but I'm looking at the issue from the perspective of an end user. While I agree that we should not be imposing on the registries, the registrars and registries, my problem here is that two of our comments have suggested that we make it more restrictive so as to avoid confusion. Now, there is some kind of a gap between what they think is confusion and what the more technical people in our working group consider as confusables. But the end requirement from an end user perspective is that we should minimize the end user confusion. So now I think we have to take into account these comments, but we have to, of course, be clear that maybe they have a little bit of deficit in understanding the definitions. So maybe we can clarify by defining it better as to what is the scope of our work. But also if we can take into account the sentiment behind both these comments, which is to ensure that the end user is protected to the extent possible. From that perspective, I think we should examine what could be done to, to consider that aspect. Thank you.
Thank you, Satish. Samad, please.
Thank you, Mats. So I'm not going to comment on this particular aspect, but those comments which have come in actually are raising two different points, and I wanted to raise that second point as well so that we can bring that into our discussion as well. The second point was that, the first point was obviously they want us to change may to must. But in addition, what they're also suggesting is that whatever this process eventually, whether it's optional or required, whatever it outputs, that should be considered as a variant and should be either allocated to the same person or blocked. And in our recommendation, I think we stop short of saying something about that. So that's another aspect I think we need to go and address in our recommendation. We either call them variants and therefore point to our recommendation on variants, which is saying that they must be allocated to the same registrant or blocked, or make it explicit in our, repeat that explicit expression in our recommendation number 16. This is being suggested by the Open Exchange comment number 3. So I just wanted to bring that into discussion as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Hi. So what we see here is that we have the text that we have in the draft guidance that is weaker. It says that it may have permits to have rules prevent confusables. It does not require anything. And the other end, there are comments that request that there must be rules that go much further and get into the ASCII area. And I think that we could, and we see that there is no, I mean, if you go into the possible confusables, then there is no hard limit. L and 1 confusables, are 0 and 0 confusables, etc. But there is those characters defined by Unicode as identical, the homoglyphs, that we actually could take into account and say that those must be handled by rules by the registry. But that is, of course, a possibility. And following the recommendation of Open Exchange that they are considered to be the variants, and so that it could be possible to register or allocate them to the same register. Dennis, what do you think?
I think Sarma has his hand up.
I think Sarma, yeah, he has his hand up, but I think he didn't take it down. Sarma, yeah, that's right. He had his hand up before and forgot to take it down. But Dennis, please.
Okay, thank you. So again, we discussed this issue extensively with a larger group than we have today, and we came up to the conclusion that we couldn't increase the level of requirement of this guideline. And I would be not comfortable changing these without having a extensively and in-depth analysis. What are the impacts to increase the level of requirement here, and just with us and another larger group, and also we have to look at this and just thinking ahead, and maybe this is a process question. What if any, not specifically this requirement, what if we make changes to other requirements? Does the whole guideline have to go through a new public comment period for the community to weigh in the new guidelines, or the change takes effect as is in the final version? So, just to summarize, two things, right? I don't think we have the enough quorum to discuss this in depth. And second one is the process question: what happens with changes to the guidance? Are they adopted as is, or do they have to go through a second comment period? Thank you.
Okay, I think you raised good questions, but if we can't discuss and make preliminary decisions today, then they have to wait until we are enough people, and that could be forever. So I think we have to process this and. We don't necessarily have to take definite answers on everything, but we could preliminarily change the wording and let the rest of the group react on that. We could also mark it as this open for discussion. And the second question, so if we feel that we need to go for a second a public comment. I think that that's very possible. I don't know if there's anything in the action process that prevents us from doing that. I think the most important thing is that we create guidelines that meet the different stakeholder aspects, and one aspect is this the effect on the end user. Yes, Satish, you say that consult the larger group, definitely. But to consult the larger group, we have to have something to propose. And I think that we should actually suggest a sharper writing here, requiring registers to do something about the confusable. So that is my suggestion, that we change it from may to must, but only point that at the intentional, but the smaller, that's right, intentional, right. Not so that the intentional have to be, the registries have to take intentional into account and create rules to prevent end user confusables on those. We could park this until next time with the comments that we have had so far. And continue to go through the rest and see what IAD that goes. Can we do that? Well, you can speak out, say yes or no. There's something.
Can I also suggest, Matt, since you are of the view that we should increase the requirement, you may have already the impacts or pros and cons of changing the requirements, and whether the current state is it just by changing from a may to a must makes all the guideline, the language of the guideline, should we keep it that way, or do we need to change something? Can you elaborate on your rationale and share it with the group so that we can weigh in?
Can you say that again?
You were saying that you are inclined in increasing the or agreeing with the comment of the commenters from to change the requirement from a may to a must. My ask to you, and not to answer on this conference call, but you know, offline on the mailing list, of your rationale, and elaborate a little bit more on the potential impacts to registries.
Okay.
Thank you.
I will do that.
Thanks.
Okay, so then let's move on to the next oh, organization that has commented? Okay. So I've scrolled up or scrolled down, depending on how you see it. And the first comment from IAB is that IDN guidelines is not a protocol document. Thus, it would be helpful to clarify the RC 2019 terminology. Defines what it means to comply with the guidelines. It cannot specify protocol lines. Do we refer to what is 2019, may and must? And yes, we do. And I think it says in 2019, it talks about implementation, right? So, maybe it's not possible to use those terms in the way that we do.
Not.
Yeah,
I think when we adopted the language of RFC 2119, we didn't really fully what entails to use those terms. I mean, our objective, if I recall correctly, was to make it clear to non-English native readers what are the must requirements and what are the optional ones, right? And we didn't like the will term because it's for non-native English speakers, that might sound not a requirement or something like that, right? But When these comments came through, not only the the IAB, but also the registered stakeholder group, and the registered stakeholder group was more specific, right? The language in the RFC and the use of must is for when issues of interoperability or security issues arise. So the use of must is in order to prevent interoperability issues and security issues. And of course, our guidelines are not required for interoperability, although we can make an argument that are used for security issues or, right, in the case of confusables or making crosses, commingling of scripts within a label, there is a security argument in there, so I think we can do that, and maybe that's the language that we need to add when we are using or adopting the RFC 2119. That it's not about interoperability, but on the security side, or maybe on the other option is just to drop. We're not using. We don't have to say we're using RFC 2119. We just use must, should, and may as English speakers. That's the other option.
Well, it says in the RFC that, well, if you read the RFC, it's obvious that it's written for standard track documents, standard track RFC. So doesn't apply for anything else. So maybe the best way is, as I think you suggest, to see what words do we use. We use a must and we use a may, and then we can more or less copy the text from the RFC and describe what we mean by the words in the beginning of our document. That is what you mean, Dennis, right?
And maybe you just gave me an idea how we could do it. I mean, we don't have to call out the RFC 2119. We can come up with our own definition of what's a must, what's a should, and what's a may, right? Must is something that the registrars will do and will be held accountable for from a register agreement compliance standpoint. Should and may are optional requirements or guidelines. And that's basically it. I think that's the only, the gist of the issue, right? And that will be clearly what is expected from the registries in order to comply with.
Well, I mean, should and may means different things, right?
Well, yeah, but we will give it meaning, right? It just, Should may, even should in an RFC option. May is just really optional, but should, there is some gray area, but registered operators can decide not to follow a should recommendation in an RFC. Yes, and Sarma is, can we use the text from the RFC without referring to the RFC? And I think that's where I'm going to, right? We use must, should, and may, and we make it clear in our guidelines, what do we mean with a must? And means this is for compliance purposes, for your RA, GTLDs. So you must do this. Should and may are going to be optional items that in order for to address or best practices or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I think I'm leaning that way. We don't have to fully comply with the RFC 2190 because otherwise we will be creating confusion.
We could refer to the RFC saying that the definitions are the interpretation of the RFC and applies for this document.
Okay. No, but Matt, that's like saying, yeah, I'm using your reference, but I'm not using it, really. And it creates more friction. I think I agree with Sarma, we drop the RFC reference and we just define our own terms. What does a must mean and what does a should mean?
What is the problem of saying that we use the terms as in the spirit of the RFC without referring to it directly? We cannot.
Because saying that we're using you're still referencing the RFC but not using it fully. So you are, but you are creating this, so you are referencing, but you're not using the definition as the RFC says. That's the very issue that we're having here, right? We are referencing the RFC, but we're not using it fully. We did it, and as a group, I think we did it. None of us, at least that was the case, none of us really fully understand what the using the RFC terms meant.
Right. I don't see the problem of pointing out that we got the terms by looking at the RFC. So by expressing that this is where we got the definitions from, so to say. I don't see that the problem. But let's at least move away from the are not referring to directly define it in our document. That's I think that we can agree on that, right? And then we can decide later if we should have something to say that this is in the spirit of 21. I think that copying from 29.119 and not saying it is a problem. If you're taking something from a document that you don't say it, that's cheating. But at least we understand what the AIB mean and what they mean, and we accept that. So then NIB 2, section 2.1 is clear statement of a compliance with IDNA 2008 as a target with transition guidelines from other specifications into appropriately conservative. I don't understand what they mean by that.
I think we just were in agreement.
Right, so this is just a statement. There's no action here, but I think they're supporting our recommendations.
And then IRB 3, in section 2.2 or 2.3, it may be useful to state that sometimes various combinations of languages and scripts variants are not fully compatible, and registry has to make a decision. Okay. Any thought and comment on that? Do we have some example of what that would mean? Real or constructive? Tish or Dennis, come up.
I will have to read the two sections and see what exactly the IAB meant. They're suggesting we may say something explicitly, but sections 2.2 and 2.3 are a six guidelines, so I don't know where would we want to put something like that. But I think there's an action item to review and address that guideline.
I what came into my mind is that, in a way, if you have Chinese with variant control between traditional and simplified on one hand, and then you combine that with Japanese, where you include ARM characters, then you get a collision. All characters in Japanese. I mean, if you register that as Japanese, then you don't have that variant or don't want to have that barrier of control. Whereas in Chinese, you want that. Wouldn't that be an example?
I don't know. The problem is that they don't have an example. So again, I think we should read sections 2.2 and 2.3 and have a recommendation how to address that.
Okay. Let's continue. We don't have very much time left. IB, or do you want to say something, Satish? IB 4, in section 2.4, number 13, the final paragraph is not clear. Is it an example of guideline in previous paragraph or the greatest desired processing of IBM variable? Right. You have petition, and Dennis, do you have the guidelines in front of you?
Yes. And just now that I'm reading it, I agree with that comment. It's not clear why this is a separate paragraph, so we'll have to come back to it and maybe Edmond, who suggested this guidance, he can weigh in.
It's not even clear what it is an example of.
Excuse me, Max, can you say that again?
I don't really see what it is an example of.
Right, yeah, I think that's the issue.
I think we can identify that this must be removed or rewritten.
Yeah, but again, let's give Edmond the opportunity to review it, right? And because, I mean, he must have thought of something, and that's why he included it, or maybe it was just a note, and he didn't remove it at the end. Let's have review this.
When I look at number 13, I think it's too long.
Oh, that too, yes. And, I mean, in my opinion, also, we are making reference to external documents that, I mean, if you're really, really into, if your registries are going to be held accountable for those documents as well, not reviewing those documents, that's a issue there, but we'll have to come to that.
So, Samad, you raised your hand before, please. Go ahead.
Right, so I think just to review the context of this, we were when we were working on this guideline, we were talking about automatic activation, and we'd actually made it open-ended. We at some point also had a discussion to put in that the relevant communities, it should be okay for certain communities and not okay for certain communities, but eventually we decided that that's not the direction we want to go in, because it's hard to decide what is the right community and how we can see that the community has actually, in a way, recommended this kind of registry side approach. So I think what we ended up doing was to make it generic and then refer to Chinese as an example of the community which has recommended this kind of approach. Obviously, there could be other communities as well, but so far it's Chinese. To make that reference to Chinese, but to make sure that we want to keep that generic, that last bit was added where an indirect reference to Chinese community was made rather than a direct reference. So that was the context. But just making it a separate paragraph, I think, disconnects it from the first paragraph. I think in that rewriting, that some of that context is also missed. So that's why I think that disconnect is. So certainly we need to fix it or take that out, whichever way we want to go forward.
So the conclusion here is that recommendation 13 needs revision. It's too long, and the last paragraph is in some way disconnected, and if that content should be there, it must be written in some other way. Okay. Let's take. Well, actually, we are top of the hour, so I think that we stop here. I think it's important to keep the schedule up. We have a new meeting in a week from today, and in that meeting we will start with IAB5. I have a action item produce some suggestion about the confuser box, and I would do that. It is good if all of us look at what IRB means with their comment number 3 on section 2 or 2.3. Anyone else want to say some final words before we close this meeting?
This is Dennis, if I may.
Yes, please.
This is a process question looking into the future. I believe the day for us to publish the final report is June 9th. And June 9th is just a little over 2 weeks. So next week, I think it's May 31st, and then June 9th comes next. I don't want to seem pessimistic, but I don't think we will have enough time to meet the June 9th deadline. Because we have to review and then come up with a response to each of these comments.
Right.
So do we need to start thinking about pushing that date out, or what's the process? Sarmad, if you could shed some light into that process.
Right, so it's up to the working group, and if working group thinks they require more time, I can request to extend that date. So just let me know what date you'd like to put in, and I'll make that change.
To be realistic, I think that we probably need another 2 months to complete this.
That's this is Harmad. So that's quite a bit in the future, and if that's what you are thinking, then let me actually go back and check internally whether something like that is generally okay process-wise. And if that's okay, I will, we can certainly do 2 more months. But if that is not, I will come back to you and I'll give that feedback to you, and then we can decide what other options we can consider.
Okay. Dennis and Satish, do you think my think I was too pessimistic?
Maybe, but I mean, without, and I guess I tend to agree with you, because we don't know what we don't know. So I don't know how. Yeah. Again, we need to finish the review and come up with a response that everybody is comfortable and happy with. And I guess also Max and Edmond, you as chairs, we need to do something about attendance, because I think it's dropping by every week, and we don't have a good review by the larger all the group members. Maybe the document that we come up with is gonna be at risk to be seen as not, I don't know how the word that I want to put it, but it's not gonna be stronger, right? It's not gonna be a strong document if not all the group participated in the final report.
I take that action item. I will see what we can do. Talk to Edmund about it. Okay. Thank you very much for attending. Thank you very much, Ahmad. Be on the list and talk to you in a week from today.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.